Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Good to be back in the pulpit after being on vacation. One of my good friends from Trinity Baptist Church sent me this text while I was gone, and I wanted to share it with you. It was an invitation to saying that a church sign somewhere out there in America had it that now is a good time to visit our church because our pastor is on vacation. Yeah. Okay. Get messages in various ways. Okay. But while on vacation, God refreshed my spirit and envisioned the vision God was having for us as a church family. And the world in which we're living, the difficult days, but days in which God of the impossible is bringing his possibility for us. And it was a delight to picture you, pray for you, and this great movement that God has called for us together. In the sermon series that we've laid out for the summer around yielding to the Holy Spirit, it was already established, and I was the one responsible for doing it, that the focus passage for today is the one that Brandon read for us. It's the passage of Jesus in the wilderness, being led by the Spirit and confronting the devil. Wasn't necessarily the thought that led me to vacation, but it is what I prayed and thought through while on vacation. And it does seem to fit the times in which we live. It reminded me of the great writer, C.S. Lewis, the remarkable Christian. Commenting on his days from the time of World War II, in the middle of that war, he wrote a book called Screwtape Letters. He took the viewpoint of Screwtape being a mentor of a young apprentice demon, a Wormwood, of how to tempt people in our world. And in this fictitious and yet real work, that lead character was patient, and that Wormwood was going to be the apprentice on how to lead temptation away from God's love and into damnation. And Screwtape begins by saying, first, we must make him believe that there isn't a devil. We'll let that sit in for a moment. The power of the living God lives in such a contrast to an evil in our world that it makes it clear that there is some evil force that is trying to do us in. And the whole call of following in Christ Jesus is to serve in God's love movement, salvation movement, the joy movement of being set free that then would do the devil in. But if we don't think the stakes are high, if we don't think there's an enemy force, then the enemy from the Screwtape letters and in real life has already won the big fight. So we step in then to this passage. This passage that we can read either in Matthew 4 or Luke 4 is a key passage in the launching of Jesus' public ministry. He's just been baptized. The heavens have broken open. The voice of God was spoken to saying, "This is my son, I am proud of him." And the Spirit of God, lay in the form of a dove, descended on him. Matthew has it that the Spirit then led Jesus into the wilderness, probably on the other side of the Jordan in clear desert territory, that he would be tempted and would be confronted by the devil. Curious. Now, most pastor preachers working with this passage focus on the three temptations. You know them, these three temptations. The temptation to take care of our immediate needs, the immediate needs of, I'm hungry, I've been fasting for 40 days, and turn this stone into bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, the devil was frustrated, but he didn't feel defeated. And so he took Jesus on that second temptation, and that was, he perched him in a high part, maybe the same Mount Nebo where Moses once was, and said, you see all the kingdoms of the world. Now, this has been given to me, the devil lying, deceiving, lying, saying, it's been given to me. Now, I'm going to give it to you as long as you are in allegiance with me. And Jesus again quoted scripture to him and defeated the devil a second time. Third time, Jesus was taken in either a vision or some form of time-space reality to the high point of the temple and said, "Now throw yourself down and have the angels to save you." And Jesus said, "You should not tempt the Lord your God." Luke has it that then the devil left him for a time, waiting for another opportune moment to come back and tempt Jesus. There's no other written account where Jesus and the devil went on it face to face, head on competition, but they were at it for 3 years of public ministry. And the devil, thinking that he had won at Calvary, the crucifixion of Jesus, that would send him to a grave. But remember, we remember the story, don't we? That from the grave, up from the grave, he arose. But having recounted that with you, I'm not going to focus on those three temptations. But instead, I'm going to focus on what is normally overlooked in these passages. The three passages about this Holy Spirit. The three passages of how the Spirit of God is intimately intertwined into the oneness of Christ, and yet the human Christ, fully human, fully divine, needs the Spirit's help with these temptations. It's the Jesus who knows your skin. It's the Jesus that knows where you're being tempted in your life right now. It's the Jesus that understands that what's pressing on you, he gets it. He's been there. He's felt that same temptation within his life. That's why in the author of Hebrews would say that Jesus was tempted in all the ways that we have, but he overcame temptation, was perfect, so he could come back and nourish us. The Spirit, then, is how Jesus felt this extra strength and power, this oneness. And the same is true for me, and the same is true for you. Now, how does that happen? Because the Spirit gives us. The Spirit gives us the ability to recognize temptations as being deceptive disguises that seek to distract us into the arms of a false lover. Now, because that's so important, I've written that in the bulletin for you. Take it with you and use it in your Bible study at home. That's the whole thing about temptations, is that they themselves are not the sin, but they are the means of kind of dressing up, kind of disguising the sin in trying to make it look attractive to meet the need that we feel like needs to be met in our life. And if we think it needs to be met on our own terms apart from God's terms, then that temptation has won the disguise costume contest. It's won because he has distracted us and deceived us. On vacation, we went to the panhandle of Texas and farther north to kind of lower Colorado, and then I drove back through the panhandle and I hit a small country road called 208 in Old Kent County up in the panhandle, and it's a crossroads of Highway 7208. You probably have never been there and you don't necessarily need to go there. But I want to show you what's at that intersection. I pulled off to one of those historical markers because no family was with me and I had the full freedom to pull over at every historical marker that I wanted to. So I got out of my car and I went to an old jailhouse. The old jailhouse historical marker said, this was one of the most breakout-free jailhouses in all of the West, made of sandstone. And so they left the door of the old place open. I walked inside. There were warnings about what happens if you walk inside, but I was there all alone, and I walked inside. And here's a picture of it. It's just, I mean, it is an abiding place. I mean, it's once you're in there, you think you would never, ever get out. And so there were rustlers of horses and cattle, and there were murderers, and there were moonshiners. They said those are the most common people that got thrown in to this place. You didn't want to go there. And I felt a little relieved when I was able to walk out. That's reminding me, though, that that's what happens with temptation. Once it's got us in its grips and we say yes to it and we put it into a lifestyle, we step into the habit of it, then it will lock us up in its power and it will not let go on its own. Of course, that's why Jesus came, to show the power of heaven over the devil, to break the bonds of the devil over the power on earth, and to set us free. Breaks us out of our prisons. Creates an inner victory then that leads us to an outer victory. So real quickly, here they are. Luke 4:1. It opens by saying that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So first, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, you would expect that of the Son of God, right? Okay. But remember, Jesus was fully human, fully divine, in this remarkable experiment of God upon earth with the Messiah. And so this power of being yielding to the Spirit is also what this Jesus had to do in his life. Same is true for me and for you. We get into trouble when we don't yield to the Spirit. We get into trouble because we're missing out on the power of God. The Holy Spirit reveals God's best so we can deeply desire God's best in our own heart. Now, you catch that. The Spirit of God wants to reveal to you and to me deep into where our desires begin, so that what we really want most in our life is that desire of God's best. And that's what gives us the strength to change diapers and drive the kids here and there and to pay for bills and to deal with the quirkiness of people's personalities and can you believe this happened and not getting overwhelmed and discouraged, because those are frustrations, but they're not the main event. The main event is love, the love attentiveness in changing the diapers and driving to soccer practice and paying the bills, because they're in a purpose. The quirkiness of loving a personality is because you love the person and you deal with the other stuff. And the headlines that come on your mobile phone aren't the headlines of the victory won by the opposition. The headlines come from your scriptures that speak to the headlines of news of broken hearts in our world, full of the Holy Spirit. So every morning you wake up a winner. Know it, you're a champion. You wake up a winner in the morning in trusting your life to Jesus Christ, then you're trusting yourself to be full of the Holy Spirit as your day. I trust you're doing that, aren't you? Well, to be reminded again on this trip through Panhandle Hill Country of Texas, I came to Eden, Texas. There really is the Garden of Eden. We have Archbishop friend Peter Anton in from South America, a beautiful leader in the Eastern Orthodox Church there. So Peter, I just want you to know, Eden was first in Texas. Okay. I pulled off the side of the road, and in case you haven't been there, I just stopped by and took a photograph, and here's the entryway to the Garden of Eden. Of course, they had a place where you could make contributions to keep it going, so I contributed. I want that promise still to be there. The Eden, of course, is when there was life in God's creation, but temptation hadn't yet been accepted. And we've been struggling with it ever since it was first said a yes to in our life, in your life. So here's some studies. Studies that come from places like Duke or Stanford, some of these places that you've heard of, right? They've said that But people typically aren't good with willpower. That is, if you're always putting the thing that you don't want to do in front of you, we typically will end up saying yes to it. But if we can, at the very beginning, say no, and we know why we're saying no, then we make a real clear no, then we're not looking for that temptation, whether it be a handsome man, beautiful woman, extra money earned the wrong way. Whatever that is, we've already dealt with it. We're just not going to pause and ponder it every time we see that chocolate cake provided. And so Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, at the beginning of his ministry, made it clear who he is and what he is about. Then he was led by the Spirit. You and me in our lives are to be led by the Spirit. We then come to be fulfilled, the purpose of our life, as we are then led by the Spirit. Jesus conquered this internal interference. Yes, Jesus had to overcome his own kind of stuff inside him and came out and made by the Spirit always that right decision. But it was a choice that he made because of being upfront under the Spirit's empowerment. And he confronted the devil. Now, Jesus took the devil on one-on-one, so we don't have to. Doesn't mean we don't have to deal with the devil. Let me put it this way. I mean, this is a guy who has his PhD and has read a lot about all of this, okay? Jesus goes knock, knock on the front door of your soul. I mean, the devil goes knock, knock, knock on the front door of your soul, and you say, just a minute. And you send Jesus to answer the door. See, Jesus will take the devil on one-on-one. That's not your job, not my job. Our job is then to trust him with every temptation, every deception, every distraction that the devil tries to throw in our way. We deal with that because Jesus has dealt with the devil. We trust in Jesus. He has defeated the devil, but we must trust Jesus is continuing to win that victory in the devil. Now, we think about that when the tragedy of El Paso and Dayton broke our hearts once again last week. And words have been spoken and prayers have been prayed. Anguish has been filled, the tears we have shed. And what the devil wants to do is to get us into a blame game with everybody pointing fingers in all directions. And then to begin to accept this as normal behavior, and then to create such a mistrust movement that those whose bodies have been riddled by the bullets, we forget that they bleed the same red as the red of our own blood. So in Friday's e-letter, which I sent to you, was that, and then the Apostle Paul's prayer of saying we're reminded that the same Father is the Father of us all, every family in heaven on earth, is what he said in Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. And then I offered a prayer. In that prayer is that God, that we would not forget that it is your mighty work and simple acts of kindness and expressions of love that create a protective relationship for all the vulnerable, and a way to reach into the hearts of people who first commit murder in their own hearts before they pull out their automatic weapons and kill by the dozens. Jesus said, watch out for the murder in your own heart, because that's when the battle is lost. The people of the church, you and me, with our own struggles, but our own victory in Christ and the Spirit, then can go into the hearts of people who are struggling with this kind of murderous attitude of life and seek to show this love of Christ. Back to C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. The Screwtape, the mentor, almost got in trouble because Wormwood, this mentor, guy being mentored, was reporting back to the devil to saying that Screwtape is talking about the love of God, and the reason that God is so attractive to people is because the love of God is so real and powerful and so attractive that we have to distract people from that greater reality. And that made the devil very angry. See, the devil is the only force that cannot be redeemed. Everything else can be. And our hard work, like Jesus on the Messiah mission, is to bring that into our world. Thirdly, we find then in verse 14, the 40 days, 40 nights, and three temptations had been completed. And what would Jesus do but to say, I've won, it's over? No, he had not yet shown himself to be the bread of life. He had not shown himself to be the light of the world. He had not yet won the victory of Calvary at the cross. It was only just beginning. And so in Luke 4, verse 14, it says then that being empowered by the Spirit, Jesus returned to Galilee, and under the power of the Spirit, he began to preach and teach and do miracles. He did the rest of his ministry and life. Having won the victory in the wilderness, having won the inner victory, making that clear, he then was set free. And in his freedom, he served to make us free. That's what's at stake. It's really the hope of the world that's at stake. The hope of your life and my life, that God knows us by name, is at stake. So this mighty fortress is our God that was played magnificently for us. And then we sang. It was a story about the power of God defeating that ancient foe. And for you and me, we're with the victors. But it's a victory that is to be shared with everyone. Let's pray. Lord God, we need you and we love you and we're grateful for you. So we come to this invitation where you have paid it all. And all to you we owe. With that commitment, O Lord, we come. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.